Scott Patrick has to join us. He covers the Browns for the Chronicle Telegram, brownszone.com, where you can read all of Scott's work. And he joins us now on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Good morning, sir.
Hi, Scott.
What's going on, guys?
So riddle me this one.
So you looked lonely and depressed yesterday sitting in the press box. I just want you to know that.
Aw.
Lonely?
Yeah, you look.
Friends with me, Andy.
You were working hard. That's why. And I was like, I think he's depressed in what he's writing. And so I didn't want to bother you. You were in the zone.
Well, that could be true.
So
it took me forever.
So riddle me this. It's only three games. I've gone both ways here today. Reality, it's only three games. They're 1-2. A lot of football to go. Offensive line is messed up, injured, not playing well. I'm assuming they'll get that fixed and move forward. No reason to scream like crazy. However, you're among the league worst in every passing category, except pass attempts, where you're third. Scott, can you shed any light on that for me?
Wow. I don't want to jump too many conclusions about the 1-2 start. Obviously, it's not good, and they have a bunch of problems to fix. And it starts offensively. And it's how do you protect Watson? How do you get him to make quicker decisions and the right decisions to get the ball out of his hand? I didn't think he was bad yesterday. He missed some throws. And when it comes down to a one-possession game, some of those throws matter. I think of the one where Elijah Moore was running down the seam in the third quarter and Watson overthrew him and knew he missed him and kind of pounded his thighs with his fist because it could have been a touchdown. I find it hard to put too much blame on Watson when the protection just hasn't been there. And I'm sure he's part of that, but it's hard to play quarterback when you're running around and you're getting hit 17 times a game. So I think that's where it starts. And it's going to be harder to fix when, you know, who knows, is Wyatt Teller done for the season? You know, DeJuan Jones did not look right yesterday, and they're counting on him to play right tackle. Jed Wills left. James Hudson left. So they're going to have to figure that out. I think they can figure that out, but it's three games in, and they haven't. And it's not just guys getting beat one-on-one. It's they're not identifying where some of the pressures are coming from. And I think that starts with quarterback, and that leads to the overall struggles on offense.
I don't know. I'm looking at this offensive line, and we're talking about all the MRIs that are supposed to happen. I guess in the back of my mind, I'm like, I hope the five guys that play offensive line can turn into what we saw from the Guardians rotation, where we didn't know who anybody was. We're at the point now where we would have never figured out who would be in this rotation for the Guardians. Now I don't know who's going to be in the rotation on that offensive line moving forward. How do you go out and fix that quickly?
Yeah, well, it's not easy to do. We saw last year, I mean, they were down their top, four out of their top five tackles had season-ending injuries last year. So they finished the year with, you know, James Hudson and Jerron Christian playing tackle for them. So you can do it, but you have to get creative. You have to be really on point. You have to have great plans. You have to help with your tight ends. Like, there's a way to get around not having the best offensive lineman out there. And we see it in Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's missing offensive linemen, and they're 3-0. Like, it can be done. It's not easy. And what makes it more difficult for the Browns is even when their guys are healthy, and they've had four out of five guys for the most part, right? For two-plus games, they had four of their five starting guys. And it still hasn't been good. The protection still hasn't been good enough. So they're not starting from a good point. They're starting from a poor point, and then they might be down multiple more starters. So it's not going to be easy. I don't think that will sink the season for them or should sink the season for them, even if they're without whoever on that line. I think you can figure things out, but it's going to be difficult, and they're probably going to have to go outside if these injuries turn out to be serious. They're going to have to go outside the roster because they just don't have enough guys on the practice squad and on the active roster to get them through. They're going to need reinforcements if multiple guys are going to miss, you know, long-term.
Scott Patrick joining us, and he's going to be at Kevin Stefanski's press conference 12:30. We'll hear Scott ask questions right here on 92.3 The Fan. This team runs the ball fairly well, Scott. And offensive linemen will always tell you they prefer run blocking to pass blocking. The pass blocking's having issues. Why only, 12 carries to the running backs yesterday?
Yeah, I don't know, Jeff. It feels like when they lose that's what we wind up talking about.
Yeah.
And right in Jacksonville, it was.
But it's common. When they don't run the ball, they seem to lose.
Yeah. Well, in Jacksonville, there was a concerted effort to come out and run the ball and establish the run. Now, I don't know if they looked at the Giants' defense and said, we're not going to be able to run the ball, or they said, we will be able to throw the ball, and that's what the game plan was. But, I'm looking at the first half stats, and, they only rushed 7 times. Now, we've had this discussion plenty of times. They also had 7 yards on those 7 carries.
That's true.
So if you're a play caller, are you incentivized to go back to the run when you're getting 1 yard a carry? It makes it difficult. So they didn't run it well early. They didn't run it enough. They weren't getting first downs. If you look at the drive chart, it's not like they were stacking first downs, so they didn't have a ton of opportunities to run the ball. But for them to be at their best, I think, at least for now, they're going to have a better balance. They can't be this team that just spreads it out with 4 and 5 wides and throws it 40 times a game. And I know this is a small sample size, but I feel like through 3 weeks we've learned that, is they need a balance, and that takes pressure off the offensive line. It takes pressure off Deshaun Watson from feeling like they have to do everything. And you're 100% right. I mean, just in normal conversation with Whiteheller or Joe Batonio, whoever it is, they talk all the time about how much they'd rather run the ball, right? Because it puts them in a better spot than
they're on the attack.
Their heels. And it's just a tough spot to be asked to block these outstanding defensive lines, which you see every week 40 times a game.
How concerned are we with Myles Garrett?
Yeah, to me, that's a big one. We just talked about how I think they can figure it out with the offensive line. I don't know if there's a way to figure it out without Myles Garrett. I think he's that important to this team. I mean, if he were to miss any stretch of time, and hopefully we have some more clarity on that today. Kevin Stefanski said he was going to get an MRI. Myles is talking about not only both feet, but it's leading to him compensating, and his rest of his legs are hurting, and then you watch some of the plays, and he got banged into, so, are there other injuries now? It took him forever to get up that one time. They needed help to the sideline, but then he comes back in the game. So, I know he's going to play if he can, and, I think people have stopped giving Myles Garrett a hard time, like fans, right? Fans are so hard on him for a long time, I thought unfairly. I think that has stopped, and probably winning NFL Defensive Player of the Year helps. But the guy doesn't miss games. He missed one game for an injury after his rookie year. Right, he had some injuries his rookie year. Since the start of 2018, he's missed one game because of injuries, and that was after that car accident. And then he came back the week later, and he was still banged up, but he kept playing. So if he can be out there, he will. But sometimes you can't. The injuries are too bad. And if that's the case, then Jim Schwartz is going to have to blitz more because they're not going to be able to generate the same pressure that they do with Myles Garrett.
Scott Petrak joining us, Chronicle Telegram, BrownZone.com. You hit Cedric Tillman between the numbers.
Yeah.
And that was a nice pass by Deshaun. I thought he made some nice passes yesterday. Amari Cooper made some great catches on some nice passes. Where's the wide receiver crew in your mind, or is that something, Scott, that we can't even evaluate now because of the other issues?
I think you can evaluate it, and it was a big step for Amari Cooper, and I thought he would return to the Amari Cooper. Right? I didn't think he had turned 30 and, fallen off a cliff. I thought he had 2 bad games, and yesterday was what Amari Cooper looks like, and that's a great sign. And you're right, Watson made some really nice throws to him. Cooper made some unbelievable catches along the sideline where, he's able to control his body and get his feet in bounds. Nice. Right? He looked fine.
Yep.
I think Jerry Jeudy's fine, is your number 2. Didn't have a big game yesterday, but had the 2-point conversion. Has shown up throughout the first 3 games. I think he's fine. The concern is, Cedric Tillman drops that ball late and just isn't getting a lot of catches. And he's out there a bunch, but he's not having a lot of production. I feel the same way about Elijah Moore. And they need one of those guys to emerge. And, you know, they missed David Njoku. And when David Njoku comes back, that helps the passing game. You consider him as a receiver. But I think for Watson in this passing offense to be anywhere close to what they think it can be, it's up to Tillman or Moore to show up and start producing.
I kind of want to go back to the offense here for a second. Just how much of the play calling do you think is actual, like, live in-game play calling, and how much of it is analytics saying we need to do this? And I think the only reason I'm asking that is because analytics said go for two because you increased your opportunity to win by 8% during the game. And now I'm like, you know, we're sitting here, and Jeff, and it kind of just hit me because Jeff keeps talking about, why are we passing? Why are we passing? Why are we passing? And I'm just wondering how much of this is influenced by analytics. I mean, is Kevin calling the play or is analytics calling the play?
No, I think it's Kevin, especially like during the game. I don't think anybody's in Kevin's ear saying this is the time to pass the ball. Now, I think they have organizational, philosophical discussions, and they're on the same page that the way to win in today's NFL is to throw it a bunch, and that, you know, there's data that proves that. I think he enters a game or enters a season thinking, yeah, this is who we want to be. This is the right plan, the right blueprint. But I think when it's second and two, I don't think he's got that in the back of his head. I think he calls the play that he thinks they're better off calling. But, you know, there's different game plans that are more slanted toward the run and more slanted toward the pass. And yesterday was certainly slanted toward the pass. And, you know, and then we know how it goes. You get down 14 points and you're not moving the ball. You got to throw more. You go hurry up, all those things. And that skews it. I think Kevin Stefanski is his own guy and he's calling his own plays.
All right, Scott, get ready for the press conference. We look forward to hearing your questions. And thank you as always, bud.
And are you going to Vegas?
I am.
Oh, dude, be careful.
And are you leaving early?
We're worried about you.
No, I wish I could leave early. I'm not leaving early.
We need to make that happen. Who do we need to call? Hey, the guys on the fan want to have me on early to promote the paper. Is there any way I can go on early? That's what you should say.
Yeah.
Yeah, no kidding.
Good idea.
I'll make the most of that one night out there.
There you go.
Have fun.
See you, buddy. Thank you. Guys. Scott Petrek, Chronicle Telegram, BrownsZone.com. Read all of Scott's work there. He joins us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. I usually don't question too much. I like to see them run the ball more because I think they're good at it. I definitely want to see them run the ball more. I do not understand. Your offensive line is in shambles. They're injured. The guys filling in aren't filling in as well as you would hope. And yet they're third in the National Football League in pass attempts and dead last or close to it in just about every passing category, including getting your quarterback sacked. Wow. Mm. I do not get that.
Don't lose touch with the baseball races now because Cleveland is battling for that first round bye with the Yankees.
You're trying to make us all feel better, aren't you?
Those Yankees, I'm trying to take us away from the Browns for a second just to, you know, think about the good things that are going on here.
Okay.
Follow all the news at 92.3 The Fan and the Odyssey app presented by T-Mobile. Head to T-Mobile.com and get a great deal on the new iPhone 16 Pro. It's got your name written all over it.
Okay. Zach is in Cleveland. Zach, thanks for hanging on.
Hey, Zach.
Guys, I am glad I didn't waste money going down to that game yesterday. I was looking at tickets and just the night before, just looking at the prices drop, and I'm like, oh, I could take the wife and the kids, and, you know, we'll sit up high, but it's $50 a ticket. It's an out-of-conference game. It's the Giants. They're 0-2. We're going to come in, and we're going to mop these guys. I'm going to get to see Jim Donovan. Unfortunately, I saw that he wasn't there, but, you know, and Phil Dawson get inducted. This is going to be a great day, and I'm glad I didn't buy those tickets because this team sucks. It sucks, and I need somebody, and I called you guys after week one. I need somebody on this team to say that. I need somebody to be pissed off at the performance that this team is putting on the field in front of their home fans. I don't care if we beat Jacksonville. You're supposed to beat Jacksonville. We beat them in their field. Beat somebody on your home. You were 8-1 here last year with four different quarterbacks. Figure it out. I'm tired of this stuff, you guys. I'm tired of watching it. I didn't even watch week two. I went to the Tribe game because they're so much more entertaining. This is so terrible.
Every single year we watch the same stuff. I feel like I'm in an episode of Twilight Zone. This is the same thing we called about, the same things we talked about with Baker Mayfield, every other quarterback before him. This is the same conversation.
Zach.
What are we doing?
Zach. Zach, you there?
Yeah.
Yeah. You feel better? Feel better? You got it off your chest.
I do.
Okay.
I do.
That's why we're here for you, brother.
There you go, Zach.
We are here for you.
I appreciate it.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Boom. There you go. That's what Browns Monday Therapy is all about. Or Browns Therapy Monday.
Whatever it is.
It doesn't really matter.
Whatever it is.
13 years we would do this.
Zach was going.
I'm so rattled, I can't even say the name of it right.
Zach was going.
Browns Therapy Monday.
Larry's in Cleveland. Larry.
Hi, Larry. Get it off your chest, Larry.
Welcome, Larry.
So, man, I like to say, man, we got to stay resilient regardless. When we lose, we all lose. When we win, we all win. But most of all, Kapaski, he messed up, man. He keeps changing offensive coordinators every year. That don't work, man.
He hasn't.
You will lose every year because you got to – it's a process, man. Everything is a process. And then you bring your – he messed up the preseason. You at least got to play your players at least one – or at least a couple plays in a quarter just to get their rhythm, man. Everybody got their rhythm on offense and defense. And, you know, being playing the game, you got to, man. You got to stick together, man. And then on top of that, get that offense coordinator out of his hand because he did the same thing in Minnesota. That's why they got rid of him, man, because he arrogant as heck. I'm going to tell you. But most of all, man, he alternated them backs. Boy, got tired. That's why he fumbled the ball. I'm going to keep it real. Alternate them backs, man. Put them new receivers in. Get them some rhythm, man, because we're going to need everybody at this stretch. Away, they're going to play great. But at home, I don't know, man. They got to just, like the caller said, get it right, man, because we got your back, you know, for the city, man. You represent the city, man. You got to catch the ball. Receivers, catch that ball, man. I don't care low or high. Catch it, man, because your life is online. Your career is online.
All right, Larry.
Larry, thank you.
Larry covered just about everything there.
Can you do me a favor? Can you put this on the Hall of Fame name?
Oh, yeah. We're adding this one to the list,
Kaplansky.
Too. Kaplansky.
That's
good.
A new one, yeah.
That's a good one.
So, again, if you're looking at the name Hall of Fame for Kevin Stefanski, Kaplansky, Stefanski, and am I forgetting anybody else?
We had a Stamansky. Stamansky was on there, too.
Stamansky. Okay. Just want to make sure it's on the Hall of Fame. Kaplansky.
That was outstanding.
That's a good one, man. I've
not
heard
that Polish one. Names that start with K. Krzyzewski.
Yeah, but it sure as hell ain't the head coach of your Browns.
No, it's not.
No, you just totally teed that up like Lucy and Charlie Brown.
I sure
on that
did,
one.
Didn't yeah, I? Did. Tommy is in Fort Myers, Florida.
Tommy,
hello,
how
Tommy.
You feeling about Coach Kaplansky today? Good?
I'm pissed off.
Well, fire away, my friend. Fire away.
About the pronunciation of his name or about the offense?
No, I'm pissed off at the Haslams because they have Stefanski, but he's handcuffed because they had to change. They couldn't help themselves. They had to change something. They had to fire somebody. Instead of letting Stefanski and his boys just run their play-action, run-game offense, which the offensive line has been built upon, right? That's what we need. You know, Chubb's not there, but you know what? The way Stefanski plans this O-line run-game play-action offense under quarterback under center is a good game plan, but they completely, you know, gotten rid of it and hired all these new coaches. They put Watson in the shotgun. They asked their offensive line to become this, you know, pass-blocking line. I know there's a lot of injuries there, and they lost Callahan, which is unfortunate. But you got to let them do what they can do. You can't change the whole offense for one guy, even though they gave him all this money and all that, I know. But I blame the Haslams here. I think, you know, even when Chubb comes back, it might be too late. So we'll see what happens.
All right, another satisfied customer on a Browns Therapy Monday. I think he feels better, right? You notice the tone in the beginning, and then as he gets it off his chest, it's more relaxing. It's back to reality.
If everybody's counting on Nick Chubb to come back and cure the ills of the running game.
Jeff, yes, it is.
Well, that's unfair to Nick. You can't expect a guy coming back from an ACL to walk in the door and be what he was.
I think he expects himself to be what
he was. That's fine. Yeah. You can't do it. Maybe he will. And if anybody can, it's Nick Chubb. But, man, if you're the Browns, he's going to be on a snap count. Yeah. You're not going to put him out there for 20 carries a game.
No, not right away.
And this team knows how to run the ball without him. Jerome Ford did a nice job last year without him. Deontay Foreman, I think, is a good running back. Got two carries yesterday. Roman is in Canton. Hello, Roman.
Roman.
Hey, guys. How are you? Please excuse my raspy voice.
Yeah, what's with you? I thought that's not Roman.
Yesterday made me sick, guys. It really did. And I watched, and it's the most frustrating thing on the planet, seeing what we were and what we should be, no matter the circumstance. I got two things, guys. It's just sloppy. And, you know, you think they go to the Greenbrier to build all this camaraderie and, to, you know, to clean up all the mistakes in the beginning of the year. But drop balls, penalties. I heard a stat yesterday that 80 or 85% of our drives start with a penalty. Do you know how ridiculous that is for a professional football team? It's miserable. So
here, you want to feel better about that? They only had, what they have yesterday, 5 penalties for 48 yards. They had 13 penalties for 100 yards last week. So, hey, we're seeing some improvement.
Yeah, but guess what? We were also 4 for 29 on third down.
I know.
That's miserable, and it's all sloppy from holdings, from dropped balls, from fumbles when you never supposed to fumble. You're driving to tie the game before halftime, and then we get the ball back after halftime to take the lead, and you fumble it, give it to them, and now we're down 2 scores. It was just – it's sloppy all around. And I think Kevin tries too much of this reverse psychology or, oh, we're really good at the run and they're really bad at the run, so let's surprise them with 40 pass plays in the first half. That's not what good football teams do. They know what they're good at. The other team knows what they're good at, and they don't care because they are good at it. So run the ball. Stop trying to force this pass offense that we don't have. It's been clear that we have been a run-first team with Nick Chubb or without Nick Chubb for the past 5 years. So quit trying to be fancy and stick to what we're good at. That's the most frustrating thing about this team. And Stefanski, I like him as a coach. I think, you know, how could you be mad about a guy who has had one losing season in the past 4 years, and that season was 7-9? Sure, I get people's frustrations, but at the same time, you got to quit trying to be sneaky and tricky and just be good at what we're good at.
Period. Thank you, Roman.
Roman, take care of that voice, and I couldn't agree more. It's how Andy and I started the show today.
It's the identity, and there is none.
You're really good at something, and you're not doing it. At least historically good at it. I don't know, Andy, if we can actually say now that you're good at it because you only ran it 12 times with your running back yesterday.
I don't quite know what they're good at right now. I know the defense didn't give up any points yesterday.
The identity is lacking, that's for sure.
But they were knocking on the door. They went out of bounds at the one. So, I mean, it easily could have been 28.
You know. Dave's in Beechwood, home of good shopping.
Hey, Dave.
Wonderful shopping here in Beechwood. And I'll tell you what the Browns are good at. They're good at being soft. I don't know what happened to – I feel like the Browns used to be a team where at least you could give them credit that they were tough, that we were a ground-and-pound team, that we had tough guys, that we didn't like losing. But instead, now we've got an offense ran by Kenneth Dorsey, who does the least tough thing you could do with the little dink-and-dunk passing offense. There's no honor in that. What happened to the days when men were men and you had guys smoking cigars and drinking whiskey at halftime, leather helmets?
Yeah, Dave.
Yeah.
That's what I want. If we had that going on, maybe we'd have a chance to win some games.
Cigars all around.
3 to 4 yard passes. I can't take it anymore, guys. Bring me back to the manly days of the Browns.
Yes.
And then maybe I'll start buying tickets again.
All right, there you go.
Dave, there you go.
I got to pick some dirt and grass off my face mask right now. Boy, I'll eat it. I don't care.
Unfortunately, Gene Hickerson and Dick Schaffrath are not available.
Lou Groza?
I don't think Lou's available either.
I like Lou. Otto?
I know Otto's not available.
All right. I tried.
Was worth a shot.
Thank you.
So, look, the offense has been struggling, as we know. Here's another issue. And I even hate to say this is an issue, but I think it is.
Okay.
The defense has been okay.
Yeah.
This defense has to be really good for this team to win. Right now, 12th in total yards, 15th in passing yards, 13th in rushing yards. This is the same thing they kind of did last year. Remember, they were number one in yards allowed last year.
Yeah.
They were the stingiest in giving up yards, but they gave up more points than yards as far as rankings. They're 22nd right now in points allowed. That Dallas game skewed things, certainly,
yeah. You
know, because Dallas blew them out. But the Browns are allowing 22.3 points a game.
They're also number one in choreography when it comes to touching the passer calls.
After penalties that are against your team that you didn't know were against your team.
Correct.
Here's the snap. Blitz from Newsom off the edge. He got it away and it's picked off with a flag. Martin Emerson has it, but there's a flag in the backfield. I think they're going to get Newsom for hitting the quarterback.
See, Andrew had a better perspective on it than the guys on the field.
I don't think Andrew would have been dancing on that play.
Well, Andrew had a better perspective.
He knew to wait for the flag.
He could see it. It was back in the backfield. Everybody else was downfield getting ready for the choreographed celebration.
Those are great when you're winning. This team isn't there. I think we need to earn the honor to have choreographed dances at this point.
Do you really?
Yeah, I'm okay with individual celebrations and maybe one other guy giving you a high five. Or you know, I can always appreciate a good mid-air body slam. I think those are okay, but that's only two. When you get everybody involved after a play that didn't actually come to fruition, it's a little embarrassing. It is.
Problem here, defense has been okay. And I if this offense is going to struggle any, the defense has to be just downright nasty.
They've got to give the they've got to put this offense in a position where they don't have to go 80 yards.
True. Dominic is in East Rochester, I'm assuming. Hi, Dominic.
Hi, Dominic.
Good morning, boys.
How are you, sir?
By the way, I have him as Shemansky.
Shemansky. All right, I'm going to put that in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, put that in.
Yeah, it's Shemansky. Yeah. I don't know why I can't get it. You know, I was going to wait till tomorrow to call, but I can't. I can't help myself, and I'm so thankful that you guys do this on the day after.
Good.
And, you know, listen, the drop passes are unbelievable. I know that in some cases that the guy is running for his life. I get it. We got offensive line problems. 200 colleges graduate football players, and yet we can't find four guys, fat guys, that can block. It's unbelievable.
Maybe that's the issue. Pete Prisco on CBS wrote a story, Dominic, that offensive linemen are getting beat by these smaller, quicker defensive linemen. And maybe part of the reason why is that offensive linemen aren't hitting in training camp and in the preseason as much. I thought it was really interesting.
Well, I was going to make that point too, but I got to get this other thing off my chest because I say drop passes, he's running for his life. But listen, you got the elephant in the room. The guy stinks. It was a mistake. It was a $230 million experiment that didn't work. And when you're in a game like that, you mean to tell me that Shemansky is going to be so stubborn that he can't at least put the other guy in and see what the hell happens? And I don't care about a quarterback controversy. These guys play for pay. What you got to do, worry about their feelings. And as far as these injuries, you guys just touched on it. This again goes back to them not playing in the preseason, in my opinion anyway. You know, they don't play. The training camps are powder puff these days. Nobody hits. Nobody does this. Nobody does that. And then the season comes along and everybody gets hurt.
All right, Dominic.
The quarterback stinks. He stinks. When he does have time, he misses guys by a mile.
Dominic, thank you.
Thank you, Dominic. Yeah, I don't know. Can I put that in the Hall of Fame? He told us he was going to call him Shemansky early in the
I put it in.
All right, he's in.
I put it in because midway through the call, I think he actually
dropped it well.
If you're keeping score at home, it's a 4-6-3 double play with Klopansky, Stepansky, Stefanski.
Didn't we have a Stepanovich too?
I don't know that. Past? I don't know. Only Alex Stepanovich.
Yeah, I know.
Berea, legend that played at Ohio State. Yeah. Shemansky.
TJ's in North Ridgeville. Hello, TJ.
Hi, TJ.
Good morning. Good morning, guys. I was at the game yesterday, and actually Dominic was pretty refreshing, with the exception. I'll be a little more respectful of our quarterback. You know, one thing nobody's bringing up, you know, when he got hurt last year, before he did, he was running around a lot last year, too.
Yeah.
So when they brought in you-know-who, Flacco, I was all concerned, this guy's going to get run. But guess what? He got rid of the ball quickly, on time, on target, and that's what this guy is not doing. Because that's one way to hold back all these rushers from, you know, pinning their ears back and coming after them. You start hitting quick hitters, that settles everything down. And I'm not seeing that from this guy. And Dominic said, when he does have time, he misses his receivers. I mean, there were several in the game yesterday, and the drops, you know. So I'm kind of souring, really, on this guy. And I don't know how long you're going to go before you pull the plug, because the season will be lost. And, you know, I'm a season ticket holder. And, you know, these tickets are a lot of money. So anyway, that's my thought. Your thoughts?
TJ, thank you very much. I said before the start of the season and over the summer, I think Deshaun gets this year. And if it doesn't work, I think they go the Denver Bronco route. You know, Denver went out and they drafted Bo Nix, who was atrocious in the first two games. Guess what? He was really good yesterday, and they beat Tampa. Baker was too busy throwing Tom Brady under the bus for that Super Bowl win. They put up 7 points, and I think Denver scored 26, and Bo Nix looked good.
Yeah, and you can Baker put somebody looked good the first 2 weeks of the season, though. I mean, Baker was...
Oh, no, without question. Baker's done a fine job there. But you can put somebody else at quarterback, and... I mean, how long are you going to wait to get the return? Not just any return. I mean, you're looking for something special out of Deshaun. And if you don't see it, it's time to move on. I mean, it's real clear. I mean, teams do that it's the NFL. Deshaun's passer rating right now. You ready to be disgusted? You ready?
Yeah.
His quarterback rating is what it is. There are different ways of doing this, but the quarterback rating... 31st in the NFL, ahead of one guy and one guy only, Bryce Young.
Ooh.
What'd that get Bryce Young? Benched for Andy Dalton.
Yeah.
31st in the NFL. Cleveland is in Cleveland, really cool.
Hey, how you doing?
Hi, Cleveland. Guys. Was Cleveland Crosby your favorite Brown?
No, he wasn't. It was Jim Brown with my dad. He won a championship. So
nice.
I haven't had that yet with me and my son and grandson. So
dare to dream, Cleveland, right? Dare to dream.
Yeah, and I just wanted to say that seems like there wasn't any pop to the offense, and it seems like when you run the ball a little bit with those guys as big as they are, they have never struggled with the fact that if you – get some good running plays, something always good happened, because they were trapping good and shooting, you know, on the offensive line rather than trying to defend on passes all the time. And I think that maybe that was one of the culprits. And then the quarterback holds on to the ball too long, and then he puts his head down and comes back up. By the time you do that and set yourself up, it's too late. So, I don't know, guys. I'll let you talk. I'm done. Thanks for letting me vent.
You
Thanks,
got it, Cleveland.
Thanks, Cleveland.
It's not just a Cleveland, and I don't mean you, Cleveland. It's not just a Cleveland Browns problem with Deshaun Watson. He was heavily sacked when he was in Houston. I mean, that's been something that's happened throughout his career. He sure. hangs on to the ball a long time. He tries to make plays, and by doing so, and Cleveland's right. I mean, we see it. He goes back in the pocket, then puts his head down, spins out of it. Well, when you put your head down, what happens, Andy?
Bad things.
You can't see the field, can you?
No, you can't. That's a good
point. So it just, ooh. He's been sacked an awful lot in his career. So though it's an issue right now with the Browns offensive line, and you could say the Browns offense, it's an issue that came with him from Houston. More of your phone calls coming up, 216-474-0092. Kevin Stefanski's press conference.
Kaplansky.
Charles says he thinks the problem is Kevin Kaplansky.
True, Kaplansky.
When do we get to hear from Dipa Dipa?